When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. I am Jess.
Hi, Jess.
What's up?
I'm Jen.
I think I just blew out everybody's ears. Sorry about that. I'm very excited.
Oh, you're excited because honestly, we're recording this a little bit early. You are listening to this and holy cow, it is August.
That's right. It's August. This is like time in 2020 is the weirdest thing. It's like it still feels like February. February went forever. Then all of a sudden it was August. And yet, I don't know. There's like none of those markers. Like, didn't see your mom for Mother's Day. Like, don't go away for this birthday. And so like, it's faster yet slower. And it's the weirdest feeling.
I remember sitting in bed in like March and being like, Jeff, do you think this whole quarantine thing could go on to like April? Like, and asking just like totally.
Well, I remember serious. You asking me that too.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I also can't believe since your Lake was born, so since February, I've literally seen you in person only once.
Was it once or twice? I saw you on the street.
Yeah.
We didn't see each other again?
No.
You know, I get because I see you so often, but I see you on the
Virtual
Zoom.
Virtual me.
But I think this Virtual is our lives me. Now. This is our life. I mean, this is so sad. It can't be like this. It can't be like this.
Weird.
I know.
Well, for people who enjoy summer, which isn't Jess and I.
No, I'm like, all right, bring
enjoy the rest of your summer. Like, happy August to you. For everybody else who's just really hot and sweaty right now, we're getting through it. We're just getting through it.
Summer in the city. I always have that, like, hot time, summer in the city song every time, like, I, like, go outside. Just, like, feet pounding the pavement.
Yeah, and then it just slows down into, like, a melty, ooey, goozy version of
days.
That song. Like, hot time.
Yeah. There's, like, a 1970s, like, cast over everything. Just, like, doom and gloom. Summer of Sam. No, seriously. It's just, like, not fun right now. Anyway, let's bring the fun. Let's bring the levity. Bring the joy. What do we got this week? Let me tell you. We've got the headlines. We've got men wearing makeup, okay? I'm very excited about this trend. I know I feel like we report on this like every 6 months, but I feel like there's always a tweak. There's always a new spin. There's always a new angle. Can't wait to talk about this. And we are going to answer a listener's question about behind the scenes at Fat Mascara, how the sauce gets made. And of course, we're going to raise a wand.
All that. Well done, Jess. I'm excited about this show. You ready to do it?
Let's do it.
Let's get hot time in the city.
dun, dun, dun. Hey guys, I'm doing the news virtually from my vacation. Just kidding. I'm recording this early.
I should have said that. I think I started too before. I was like, we're doing it early, not early in the morning, earlier than we would because Jen is going on vacation.
That's how much we love you. Instead of us being like, oh, we're going to take a week off. Oh, no. We've recorded double the episodes for you. So if some huge news comes out at the end of August and it is not included in this, you cannot blame me. I was just thinking, like, watch Oprah, like, surprise drop Beyonce style, like a makeup line, like Oprah's makeup line, and we don't talk about it. Like, everybody's going to be like, Fat Mascara is, like, off their game. It's because I'm recording early, just so you know. Okay. So remember last week when we talked about Clarisonic failing, Jess, and you were like, well, there are no dummies. All those people are going to be, you know, they'll find something to work on. Well, did they ever? So Dr. Rob, who we've both interviewed, I know, he actually left the company before it closed and started up this brand called Opulous. And so this is where all the technology is going. It's launching in the fall. It's basically like, you know, a Keurig coffee maker. It's like that for skincare. So I got to look at it. It's a little like device. You put in these pods, you know, like the K-cups of the skincare, and it mixes together the pod that you want and squirts out a fresh batch, just one application of your skincare. And that is what they're doing with all their fun brains and technology. The only they're saying this is how they're saying it's warm. The cream will be warm, so it absorbs better. And I was like, okay, that sounds nice. It'll be fresher for the actives and things, which is a good point. You need less preservatives if you're mixing fresh. And they're also touting it as sustainable because the little pods will be wrapped in paper. So it's not like those K-cups that are all plastic.
And this is the man who was behind the Clarisonic. This isn't the whole Clarisonic team is running over.
Oh, no. And this isn't a L'Oreal project. No, I just was like, after you asked me that, I was like, let me look into what they're working. You know, some of those people that I knew worked on Clarisonic. Of course, he has like a whole new brand that's super techie. I'm excited to see how much it costs, A, get our hands on it so we could try it. I don't know if this is the fancy smartphone of skincare we wanted, but
yeah, I mean,
cool.
He's a brilliant man. So, of course, he's working on something else. But I just want to be clear. He left Clarisonic before they dissolved.
Yes.
Okay. Very cool. I would love to try that. Yeah, I really do think that we're just seeing the beginning of the device market. I really don't think that Clarisonic was the death knell for devices. I think it was time for L'Oreal to say goodbye for whatever reason. All right. What else?
Yeah.
You got? Oh, sorry. I cut you off.
I was going to say Business of Fashion did a whole thing like right after we recorded what we thought on Clarisonic on why it ended. And they were reporting on how the device market was sort of lacking and evening out. But then the pandemic, people did start buying stuff again because they couldn't get to their esthetician or their derm. So it's all over the place. Our predictions are as good as yours, guys. Okay, next news. Gucci Bloom has 4 new ambassadors for their fragrance. Did you catch the new, like, the digital campaign they've been doing?
I did. Why don't you describe it for everyone?
Well, first, the ambassadors are Angelica Houston, Florence Welch, Jody Turner-Smith, and Susie Cave. So I was scrolling through, and I guess I got the Angelica Houston version of the campaign.
Fabulous.
As a little flower face, like a pink daisy almost or something like that. And where the pistons would be. That's right. I just dropped some botanical knowledge. Is Angelica Houston's mouth, which I was mesmerized by. Mesmerized. Oh, wait. You told me this reminded you of something, and I literally just am guessing what it's going to be. What does it remind you of?
So there are these, right, the flowers, they're talking flowers, and it's teeth, uh-huh. And a mouth, a human mouth and the flower. Do you remember the Sex and the City with Cynthia Nixon, Miranda? She was walking and there was a talking, believe it was a Frankfurter. It was a guy in the the costume, you know, like handing out the flyers. And she's walking by in her little Miranda business suit, her little lawyer suit. And he goes, eat me. And every day he's going, eat me. And she gets pissed off. And finally she does this, like, you know, I'm going to do a, you know, like this one's for all women kind of thing. And she goes over and she's like, let me see your, this is like, I'm paraphrasing. She's like, let me see your face. And she lifts it up and there's this mesh face and you just see this mouth inside this hot dog. It was perverse. I think I know why. That's not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say Little Shop of
Horrors.
Oh,
that too. Oh, you know, Seymour.
Yeah. But I actually think I know that Sex and the City episode. And I feel like the reason might be the color. Because you know how Gucci always does those weird 70s,
yes,
like dirty acid versions colors. Of color. So it's like a fleshy pink, yeah, color. It's kind of hot doggy, to, yes, be perfectly honest.
I like the Gucci campaign, but there was something.
I love that Angelica Houston.
Yes.
Is in
like
it, or Houston. I never know how to say her name.
It makes you look, it makes you think, it turns a fragrance ad on its head. Like Gucci's so great at like really like reinventing what beauty could be right now. But it mm-hmm. got under my skin in the same way the hot dog man did. And I think she went back, and guys, I know mm-hmm. that there are people who are Sex and the City fans that are much more hardcore Sex and the City than I am, for sure. Did she like shtup that guy? I don't remember. But there was something sexual. There was something.
Did you just say shtup?
Yes. There was a sex.
Let me translate. Shtup is the Yiddish word for like.
To get together.
Sex,
yeah, get together.
Love. But with a little more, yes, dirtiness.
There was a sexual tension between her and Hot Dog Man in that kind of disembodied mouth on a non-human.
I feel like Alessandro Michele would be very excited to know that we took his campaign and ended up talking about sex and hot dogs.
For a long time, I could go on, but I know you have the other news items to get to.
Oh, I got more news. That's right. Anyway, I'm excited about that campaign. Really cool women in it. Very weird, though. Gets under your skin. We'll put a link on the blog so you can check it out. Okay, move over Space Perfume. Remember Space Perfume from a couple weeks ago? Now we have a perfume resurrected from a shipwreck. A team of divers off of the coast of Bermuda found an old shipwreck. This was a couple years ago. There happened to be two bottles of perfume. They brought them to a woman who owns a boutique perfume company there. Isabel Ramsey Brackstone is her name. She brought them to her friends at Drom Fragrance. They opened one up. It was stinky. The other one had a little air bubble that had kept it preserved. Mm-hmm. And they got this fragrance from the 1800s, early 1800s, I guess, was still intact. So then they pulled out their little gas chromatographer. Oh, my God. I practiced saying that and I said it wrong.
No, we gave you
chromatography.
Points.
Gas chromatographer.
Oh, excuse me.
I bless you. Bless you.
I was like thinking of all these chromatography and
18th
the
century
dust.
Aromas.
Yes. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, just yeah, let's get through it. Oh my God. Benadryl.
They got it out and figured out using this machine what was in it, and also the perfumer's nose. It had orange flower, roses, sandalwood, vanilla. And then they've recreated it from the 1800s.
That's so cool.
The perfume is available for sale. I'll put a link. But what's so cool to me is the fact that somehow underwater for, 200 years almost, this perfume
survived.
Was preserved.
That is so cool. I think this is a great, okay, I know that. I'm going to put on my HSN hat, guys. Christmas in July. This is a great gift idea for any of your history buff friends. I wonder how much it is.
Oh, sorry. I should have had that information.
No, it's okay. No, I'm not asking. I'm like genuinely thinking, but I think it really is a great idea for any holiday gifts for, you know,
it's
very romantic.
It's got a history
to
it.
Yeah, I love that idea. Okay. Yeah. What's up? What's next?
In less romantic news, let's all get cozy. Ooh, literally, that was good. Let's get cozy in Jen's Science Corner because there's a new study in the journal Cell that explains the reason humans get goosebumps.
Okay.
And this is fascinating. So everybody has theories about this. Darwin had theories about this, whatever. Researchers at Harvard, they were studying mice using high-resolution electron microscope. They found that sympathetic nerve that triggers goosebumps was associated with the muscle in the area. Obviously, clearly, they squeeze up and they make goosebumps, so that makes sense. But then they found out that when that nerve is triggered, it has a direct connection to the hair follicle stem cells. So what does that mean? Well, Julia Schwartz, a postdoctoral fellow, explained it this way. Quote, it's a two-layer response. Goosebumps are a quick way to provide some sort of relief in the short term, you know, when you're cold. But when the cold lasts, this is a mechanism for the stem cells to know it's time to regenerate new hair. So the act of getting goosebumps mm-hmm. actually grows your hair. So think about back in the day when we had like all our monkey ancestors and things. Like if you lived in a cold environment and kept getting goosebumps over and over again, you also might have gotten a nice thicker body hair to help compensate.
I don't know if my friend Melanie is listening to this, but I feel like Melanie and I, when we were younger, we would say, like, when we'd get cold, that, like, our leg hair was growing back. Like, after we'd, like, shave when we were in middle school and high school.
I feel like we said that, too. Maybe, like, teenage girls knew more than the Harvard scientists is what you're saying.
Well, I just think that we would, like, joke around about. Like, oh, like, if cold, our leg hair is growing back. Because we just, like, it's something I, like, noticed. But the other thing, can I just ask you, Harvard, are you really, like, I want to know if, like, this is, like a B plot in a study that they're doing. I really hope they're not doing studies on mice to learn about goosebumps. I really, hope not. Because, A, seems, like, gratuitous. B, feels like something you could do on a human. And C, like, for God's sakes, what are they doing to these mice? They must be keeping them in very cold temperatures. I'm just like, I'm sorry. I've had it with the animal testing. We can talk about this offline.
No, you can use that.
I'm just tired of it.
No, you can use that microscope without harming things. Like, you could actually do live.
I'll come in. We can do it together, social distance, whatever. I just, like, there are all kinds of, like, you know, this isn't Jessica's animal rights corner right now, but the amount of, like, studies that I read about that are just, like, because I'm actually quite informed about this.
They weren't setting out to look at this. They weren't setting out to look at this particular finding. And let's remember, as much as I 100% agree with you, but good drugs and science and life-saving things can come out of some of these tests.
Yes. No, that's a sidebar. But that's what I want to know.
But if they're spending their time killing little tiny mice just to find out why there's
goosebumps, or just even pissing them off, okay? Just, like, let them...
The mice can handle it. They can handle the cold.
Let them run free in the square, okay? I really hope that this...
What square?
Harvard Square.
Oh, okay? Harvard Square.
Let them run free.
Okay.
Let them chill, okay? I really just hope that this
I'm going to send the podcast to Yulia Schwartz, and we'll see if we get a response.
Okay. All Sound right. Good? Yulia, do they get a degree when they leave? All right. I love this topic. Men in makeup. Now, I feel
again.
Like this...
Here we go again.
Well, I feel like it keeps on coming up because we are not there yet. When I say we are not there yet, we are not at a place of equity in the marketplace. We are not at a place where I feel like men and all people, I was just going to say all people, can feel comfortable going to the counter and paying for their makeup purchases. Now, the Washington Post has just done an article about the popularity of, that was a weird way I've said, the popularity of men purchasing makeup and the impetus, the angle for, like, you know, it's like, why is the Washington Post writing about this? Well, men are on Zoom calls lots and lots these days for their jobs, and they want to feel great. So they're looking into things like concealer, maybe a little brow gel, something that's going to, like, get rid of their, you know, just make them look refreshed. Because, like, basically you're staring at people's faces all day, as if you're in a kind of corporate job where you're on expected to be on these Zoom calls constantly. You can't. It's funny with these things, like, when you're in a conference room, and if you're in a kind of corporate office culture, you can look at your notebook, you can look around the room, I don't know, your pants, whatever. But on these things, it's just like you're staring people, like, dead in the face. It's this very awkward.
You get a lot more FaceTime. I think, Then again, the people in service and frontline jobs probably get less FaceTime because everybody's in masks. But for more of the, like, office culture kind of jobs, absolutely. The headline was, like, I thought it was really cute. It was, maybe they're born with it, or maybe they have a Zoom call.
Yeah, it's so funny. So I mean, I don't know, Jen, what do you think about this story? Because it keeps on popping up as if it's a new thing again and again. But I do feel like there is a reason why it's, like, it reminds me of just like a whack-a-mole or like a balloon that keeps on getting pushed down and being popped up.
But a few of the last times the story came up, like when there was a lot of boy, like, it was when the influencers started, like a lot of guy influencers. Mm-hmm. But to me, their makeup wasn't like most women wear their makeup every day to the office. Like, it's not just that concealing, correcting, improving yourself. It was like making a look.
Right.
Glamour, you know? And so that was the story when those guys came up. This is that story of, like, no, just trying to neutralize and, like, level the playing field. So for me, that's a little bit different. Also, there were some new polls that came out that I was like, oh, maybe things really are changing. Because a study in October found that 1/3 of men ages 18 to 29, a full third, said they would consider wearing makeup. So overall ages, it's only 23%. But I bet if you went to someone like my dad's age, that cohort, it would be like 5% of them would be willing to wear makeup. So clearly, you know, as the younger generations grow up, it's less of a stigma that men wear makeup.
I really do think that, like, yeah, the younger millennials and the Gen Z, like the Gen Z, I sound like a grandma, the Gen Z, but like Gen Zs, like they really just don't, wide generalization, but they don't have hangups the way, you know, Gen Xers and certainly like boomers do. They just don't. And these are big generalizations. But I mean, I think a lot of folks like, you know, my dad's age, the men, they're not even buying like liquid body wash. They're looking for a bar soap. You know, they're so into what they grew up with that they cannot even dream of putting on a concealer. My dad just started using him like the moisturizers I gave him like 7 years ago that are like now like calcified, you know? It's it's crazy because now he's like more open to it. And I don't know what in the culture pushed him there. I don't know what TV shows he's watching.
Attitudes are changing. Yeah. But this is also, I should point out, this was just really talking about the American market, and I think some other markets are more advanced in this kind of thing. I remember we had on what's his website? Socialite?
David Yee. Very Thank good you. Light.
What is the name of his website? Very Good Light. And he was telling us about some of the practices in Korea where men are much more like used to wearing makeup. Yeah. So this was more of an American market thing. And the impetus for the story was also that a men's makeup line, I think it was called Strix, I'll put a link on the blog, is going to be available in drugstores. And it's really hard to get shelf space in those mass retailers here in the States. So I think that also is like pointing to, oh, all right, things are finally on the move.
And they're going to sell it, clever, buy the shaving cream, things like that. So guys don't feel like, oh, they're next to, you know, CoverGirl. One last thing, though.
Like, come into our aisle. Like, there should be no lines, in my opinion. But I get it. It's also intimidating. Think about, I even know women who walk into the aisle and like, I don't even know where to start, you know?
Yeah, it's really intimidating. One last thing, though, and this is kind of like, I don't mean to be a bummer, but like, I just think we also need to be like realistic, because I think everyone who's listening to this show probably has a pretty open mind about beauty, and I don't think we're like everyone. I'm like embracing my arms around all of you. I don't think we're the average bears when it comes to beauty. I think we're all pretty progressive, no matter what your politics are, when it comes to beauty. But I was looking at the comments just before the show. This is the Washington Post. Washington Post is a very progressive newspaper. Comments really broke my heart. They were really bad. They were like, and overwhelmingly, it was like men wearing makeup, like, oh, like, you know, JFC. Then there were things like, and this really pissed me off because this was a double whammy. This was like misogynist and misandrist. Both basically they got two in one shot. It said like, you know, women have been like doing, you know, putting gunk on their face, you know, forever to like please, you know, everyone. And like the pandemic shows more women like letting that stuff go. And now men are picking up like out of the bad habits, basically saying like women have suffered so much. Why are men doing this too? Basically talking. No, but there was a lot, like I'm sounding like so specific about like the comment. It was the general thing, like, women have been doing this ridiculousness for so many years, and now men are picking up the ridiculousness too. And I was like, oh, that's my God.
Those people should read Autumn Whitfield Medrano's book. Remember?
Yes. Oh, my God. So good.
Hello, people. Not everybody that wears makeup or cares about things does it because they're insecure, or does it because they're trying to please others, or does it because they want to be sexually attractive to someone. Some of us do it because we like it and because it feels good and it makes us feel good. And why do you care what we're doing in our bathrooms?
I could not believe all of this.
Go to your own bathroom and worry about your own shit. I'm getting mad at this comment, or I don't even know.
I mean, I do love, I do kind of like, Jeff always yells at me. He's like, why are you reading the comments of these things? I'm like, because I like to kind of see like where people's heads are at. And
no, but remember, the people that comment, that's not everyone.
You're right.
Those are the people that are passionate enough to freaking set up a little user profile and comment. So we're not, that doesn't.
I know, mean I know, I know. You're right, you're right. I know.
Think about the hate mail we used to get at magazines. Did you ever get a nice letter? Like, oh my God, I love your magazine. Very rarely.
No.
It was always the hate mail that you get.
It's true. It's true. That sounds like, that is so true. I know, but. You're right. You're right. I got to reframe, but when I closed the computer and I got ready for our podcast, but I like stormed out of the living room. I was just like, people don't get it. They still don't get it. They get it enough to read this article in the Washington Post, but they still don't get it. Anyway, read the article. We'll put it up on the blog. Let us know what you think.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Okay, next up, we have a listener question from Marcy. She's going to ask it. She also has a raise the wand, which we left in because it's a really good one. Take it away, Marcy.
Hey, Jess and Jen, it's Marcy from New Jersey, and originally from Freehold, New Jersey, right next door to Jess's hometown. Longtime listener, huge fan of the pod, and I had a question and a raise a wand. My question is about interviewing your guests. I know that before the pandemic, you guys felt that it was really important to have your guests in the studio whenever possible for in-person interviews. And I was wondering if this time of being forced to interview guests remotely has changed the way that you feel about that and how it's impacted the way that you do interviews and interact with each other. My raise a wand is to the Camille Rose Algae Renew Deep Conditioning Hair Mask. Camille Rose is a Black-owned hair care brand, and I use this mask once a week. It smells like mint chocolate chip ice cream. The experience is absolutely gorgeous. And when I get out of the shower, I feel like I have a renewed, fresh-from-the-salon head of hair. Huge fan of the Camille Rose Algae Renewed Deep Conditioning Mask. Raise a wand.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, neighbor.
First of all, Marcy, if you're not in, like, voice acting, I think Marcy's a voice actress. I really do.
If you're not, I hope
you
you're doing...
You should be.
Yeah, you should be. Your voice makes me stand up straight.
Want to buy cleaning products. You know, like the lady that like is just like, your life will be better with this thing. That is Marcy.
I feel like she has to have authority over somebody because like, or she should, because I will do whatever you say, Marcy. Like
if you give me
any kind of advice, if you say like, just make a left and walk over that bridge and like, just jump right into the water. Like,
yes, Marcy, will do. I mean, we already have the Camille Rose mask in our car, like, as we speak. We just listened to this live because we wanted to, be, like, have our reaction. Marcy's a delight. Thank you, Marcy.
Oh, my gosh. Lovely.
And it was a good question. I feel like people are actually curious about this. Or else Marcy's trying to set up a competing podcast and she wants insider information.
I would never even think about that. You're so funny. No.
But it's actually a really good question. And my first thought is, A, the good thing, because I like to be positive and always look on the positive, bright side, is we've been able to, and you'll see this as August progresses, book some really amazing guests who normally we would not get to because they weren't in New York City to record with us, or mm-hmm. even if they were, they couldn't find the time to come all the way down to our studio, you know.
Well, I mean, now, like, we booked Lisa Eldridge. We've been, like, you know, trying to get her for, like,
that's
years.
A good example, but I think she people are going to see a couple more coming up. That's just a little hint.
Yeah.
So the positive is that we've been able to get some of these guests that we never have been able to get. Jess, what do you think about, like, the rhythm and the energy of not having them in the room?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, because you said we've been able to get guests we've never been able to get. We never wanted, like, we were able, I'm sounding like now I'm, like, sticking up for the show. It's not that we weren't able to get folks that weren't in New York. We didn't ever want to record remotely, even though, like, people have, I mean, like, been like, oh, we'll do it by phone. We didn't want to because of the reason that I'm going to say in a second. We just did not. We felt like, oh, it's going to be stilted. It's going to be weird because we never even tried it before. We're like, ah, like, that's so icky. Like, we don't want to have a Skype call. Actually, I think we did do, like, a Skype call once with our friend Emma at the beauty at the over at Emma Guns, and we did we did Forever 35, but that was during quarantine. We just didn't, like, we're, like, not into it. But now we don't have a choice, so now our world has, like, opened up. So we're like, okay, now that we have to do it remotely, let's shoot for the moon and get amazing guests. Now, as for the rhythm, I have to say, it's not, like, been ideal because you don't get that warmth of seeing somebody, like, smile when they walk in the room. Oh, this is so cool. This is your studio. I love your shoes. I love your bag. Where are you coming from? Like, that kind of, I'm being real. I'm sorry. You have to have that little small talk. And right now the small talk is like, oh, hey, you're on the screen. Okay, we can't hear you. And it's like,
set up your headphone. Make sure the background, there's a lot of tech. Yeah,
there's a lot of tech. And that's not the icebreaker that we're looking for, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really been a challenge. I really think you want to, there's something about being, everyone's talking about, oh, is this the new future of work, working from home? I really certainly hope that we have the option to do this because it's crazy to, like, make people commute, and I think you need to be flexible for people's families.
Yeah.
But I think there is nothing like having in-person rapport and banter. That said, I think we've been able to really have some magic moments.
No, I agree. The thing that I miss is I really read people's visual communications clues when I'm interviewing them. I can just tell. I swear to God, there's an aroma too. When you're going down a line of questioning that's making people uncomfortable, sometimes I want to keep going because it's interesting, but I'll know because I can see their muscles tense. We're only seeing their face. It's really hard to read people's body language, so that's hard. So you're not sure if, should I keep going? Can I push a little bit more here? You know, Jess and I come up with a general idea of questions, but to get to that place where you get something really interesting out of someone, you have to walk this very delicate line. It's happened a couple of times where we've walked past it where, like, you could just feel the energy change in the room. And I think I've been much more careful about asking people things because I can't read what they're thinking. And we often get messages from you guys where you're like, oh, you gave that guest a pass, or you didn't ask them this hard question. Let's just remember, if you were face-to-face with a person 3 feet away or even on a Zoom call, you're not going to get all aggressive like you would on the internet where you can, like, hold people accountable. Have past guests done things where I'm like, I don't fully approve of that and I would have liked to ask them about that? Yes. But then I'm never going to get another guest in the future, A, because they're going to be like, I don't want to be on that gotcha show.
Yeah.
And B, it's a human interaction. Like,
it's a kindness that, like, you wouldn't, you know, yes, you're a public figure, so I should be holding you accountable. But this isn't like freaking like Charlie Rose. Oh, bad example. This isn't like
I don't know if Hardball makes sense to a lot of people, but you know, like it, this.
Generally want our guests to do well on the show. We want them to have fun. We want them to enjoy it. It shouldn't be like they're like, you know, getting the nth degree,
they're ass handed to them. How about that?
So that's my feelings on it.
I was trying to find something positive, like a good thing. Like, I do think, you know, we just, the day we're recording this,
the third right degree, that's what it is.
The third degree, yes.
Thank you.
It's not like a beauty hot seat, you know, like there are definitely, you know, other people who want to do that kind of thing. I think it is interesting that when we record with them, like, you know, I'm thinking about Chris Buckle was in his closet, he said, next to his underwear. Drew Elliott from Mac was, like, really cozy at home. And you could tell, like, you got, like, a sense of him in his space. Like, when people are in their own space.
Yeah, it's nice to see their space. Yeah.
When people are in their space, we just recorded with somebody major in her beautiful living room. And, like, I do wonder if they ever feel more at ease. Like, oh, I'm going to be, like, if they feel more comfortable versus, like, with them without their publicist, who they may or may not know so well, chilling 3 feet away from them. Like, I do wonder if there's something that the guest likes better about doing this from home.
I think our YouTuber guests, our influencer guests do. Those people tend to be, I've noticed, introverts, and they aren't as good in person. Some of the YouTubers, I'm like, wow, they're really not very big personalities in person. But over Zoom, when we talk to them, they're so comfortable in front of a camera by themselves in their own space that they really open up then. So I think it depends on the guest.
I know who you're talking. I know who you're thinking of right now. Well, even in your like mind.
Lisa Eldridge was super comfortable because she's very used to being in front of a camera.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, as the year progresses, I think you'll see it play out more. As for me and Jess, if it was the first year we were recording, I would say this is difficult. I think we have our rhythm down. I just like seeing your face every week.
Likewise. I know I miss you, and that's crazy. I'm like, oh my God, I've seen you since. Like, no, I'm just like, I see you multiple times a day. I feel like I see you just, I think I see you, I see Jeff the most, then my baby, and then you the most.
Yeah.
Isn't that so crazy?
Marcy. I want to see Marcy. Thank you for your question. And you guys, if you want to send us questions, you know how great she sounded? That's because she actually emailed us a voice memo, which is much better quality, by the way.
That was, I know, Marcy, tell us more about yourself.
You can send it to info@fatmascara.com. Or, of course, you can always call us. Jess, what's our number?
Our number is...
No, I'm not going to put you on the spot. Oh, 646.
No, I have it. I actually had it up on another. See, you know when you have all your things up, when you have Zoom, and then someone, oh, this happened the other day. Somebody asked me, I was on a work thing, and they were like, asked me to pull something up. I was like, hold on, I'm going to make you real small. You know what I mean, though, right? You are.
Yes. What's the phone number?
Hold on, I'm going to make you real small.
Oh, my God, I've you're got my mother.
How am I expected to do all of this and find all of the windows?
People driving in their car, like, all right, Jess, get the phone number.
I'm gonna get it. Hold on, I have to close the windows. There's a million things going on.
I'm just gonna say our phone number. You all ready? Right,
fine.
646-481-8182. Send us your questions and send us your Razor wands. Okay, we got two listeners in one show. Here comes an awesome raise a wand from a listener. Take it away, Naomi.
Hey, Fat Mascara fam, or just Jess and Jen. My name's Naomi Rabinovich. I just graduated sixth grade, and I started listening to your podcast a little while ago. And I just figured I would call in hopes that you might possibly see this. And so, this is awkward. Well, my grandma, she works in breast cancer research now, but she used to have a cream business and started formulating acne products and toners and stuff for me, just for my skin, kind of like custom skincare, but for free. And it's been really amazing, and I want to raise a wand to her, and we want to try and, like, market it and sell it at some point. But I've just been giving it to my friends, and it cleared up all my body acne and minimized my pores, so I figured I would raise a wand to that. Bye.
Oh, my God, Naomi. One, how did you find us? Two, I love you. Three, your grandmother is so lucky to have you. We should all be so blessed to be surrounded with family members like you.
And vice versa. You're lucky to have her. I love that she raised a wand to her grandma and her products.
That's so beautiful. I wanted to say, so beautiful.
It's so, so beautiful. I also wanted to say, yes, as soon as you guys get those products going, you need help from me and Jess. You know our email address.
Yeah, let
email
us know.
We'll see what we can do. But I hope you hear this episode so you get to hear your voice and then you play it for your grandma too.
And I'm sorry if there's ever been any salty language on the show. I'm trying to clean it up.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Did this one have any curses?
I don't know, but just the show. Okay. I'm actually trying to curse less.
Naomi's going into junior high. She graduated sixth grade. She knows we come from a good place. She can handle
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. I know.
All right. You ready to raise a wand?
I'm ready to raise a wand.
Okay. So I'm going to raise a wand to a hand wash. The upside of washing your hands all the time in the pandemic is I've been really just like cycling through and trying some new hand washes that I've never had a chance to try. But we've been going through them so quick. I was like, oh, I didn't have any left. And I found in the back of my closet. Remember when we did that listener party with Davinus, the hair care brand? And they gave everybody like a little gifty bag. Mm-hmm. Well, I took a little gifty bag because like Lord knows I need more products. And they had the Davinus Dendi hand wash in it. And I'm just now getting to use it. And Eric was pumping it out the other day. And he's like, what is this? It smells so good. It's like one of those like herb, like I'm in an Italian herb garden when you pump a little of this out. And it's and you only need, you know, those hand washes where you need like less than a dime size, a teeny tiny bit. And it's nice and creamy and really does a good lather. It's a small bottle, but like you barely need any of it. Super moisturizing. But for me, it's all about the scent. And this is just like a really, really nice scent. And Davinus is very, very involved in environmental movements.
Yes.
So I know they're eco-friendly. And it makes me very happy. Raise a wand.
I like that. A little bit of sink side luxury. Can I ask you a question? It's like it's not related to Davinus, but I've always like wanted to be one of those people that has a like a decanter, like a thing that you pour the refill liquid soap in.
Oh.
Do you have one of those in your place?
Opposite, because my mother has them everywhere. Like they're like mauve plastic with like a twist and it looks like it's from the 80s, or there's this one with like gold filigree. And I always just feel like they remind me of like, I don't know, they just seem old fashioned. So maybe if I found a pretty one. No, because then I wouldn't want to pour it in. I don't know.
Oh, I kind of want one.
That's my answer.
Okay.
You could get one like those little planters that you've been showing me on eBay that you've been
I love planters, but I don't plant. But I would
she doesn't have plants because the cat, but she likes these vintage ceramics.
Oh, I love them. Yeah, they're really like I showed you the one that was a clown.
It goes with your quirky British style sensibility, I think. You know? Like it's like
I need a house where I could put all of this crap. But I don't want a house full of crap. That's the thing. I just want like
curated curios.
Get curated.
It's your new shop. It's Ice Cream Sundays, Makeovers, and Curated Curios.
Oh, my God. Yes. When it all goes to pot, I know exactly what I'm doing. But, yeah, just a really weird little, like, funny little pump of things. Yeah, I remember my mom, like, on Saturdays, like, taking the soft soap and, like, putting it into the... yeah.
Yes.
That will be my job.
What do you... Okay,
raise a wand. Raise a wand. I'm actually, I know that like chain stores aren't very fashionable right now. We're shopping small and I'm really all about that. But I also like do have a weird soft spot in my heart right now for chain stores. As you guys know, you guys remember my soliloquy.
Nordstrom Memorandum.
Yes, exactly.
Or no, Memoriam.
But J. Crew is, I don't think it's on life support yet, but it's definitely not the J. Crew it once was. And listen, growing up, I never shopped at J. Crew. There wasn't one near me. It was definitely not in my childhood. But as I got older, I definitely bought some things there. And their hair clips are actually really good. I love their classic hair clips. There's one I'm looking at right now. Classic hair clip in Italian tortoise. I like
At faux tortoise.
Yes. Oh, yes. I actually actively like buy these. I seek them out. I buy them. I like when J. Crew has a sale because they are a little expensive for what they are. They're $14. Sometimes the bigger ones are like $18, $20. And I know you guys are thinking, oh my God, that's a lot for a hair clip. But let me tell you, when you buy one that's just from like random place, it doesn't grip. It doesn't have that like if you have thick hair,
That luxury snap.
It doesn't like have that tension in it. And I know you know what I'm talking about. If
that silver arm just springs open.
Exactly. And it just kind of hangs there like, ugh. This one gives you that grip and it really holds the hair. And it has also like a nice polish and a nice finish. So definitely worth the splurge. And if it's a sale, I maybe buy a couple because you will lose one. And I don't know. I also feel good about supporting a store that, yes, it's not mom and pop, but I think like actual people do work there and it's not doing so great
right
now.
And they make damn good hair.
Yeah. So
sorry, Olivia. They make darn good. Or sorry, Naomi. They make darn good hair clips.
So yeah, check it out. I do not think you'll be disappointed.
Raise a wand.
We hope you enjoyed the show.
It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.